Welcome to a podcast presentation from Nurse Educator. I'm Dr. Richard Pullen, editorial board member of Journal. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Rebecca Thomas, Beth Emley, Brady Urquhart, and Bailey Mosley from the University of South Alabama School of Nursing. Dr. Thomas is an assistant professor in maternal child. Her research areas of interest include women's health, the future of undergraduate nursing education in the setting of next generation NCLEX, and promotion of diversity and inclusion in graduate nursing. Dr. Thomas coordinates and teaches OBGYN nursing care theory and clinical in an accelerated BSN program, as well as forensic nursing at the graduate level. Beth Emley is an instructor of maternal child. As a certified nurse leader and certified nurse educator, her main focus is improving the education process for fellow faculty and students in educating a new generation of BSN nurses. Beth coordinates and teaches OBGYN nursing care theory in the traditional BSN program and provides instruction for several other courses. Brady Urquhart is an instructor in community mental health. She is interested in nursing informatics, neonatal intensive care, and pediatrics. Brady teaches in pediatric nursing care theory and clinical in both the accelerated and traditional BSN programs and teaches and coordinates courses in the graduate nursing informatics program. Bailey Mosley is an instructor for maternal child. Her research interests include women's health topics with an emphasis on outpatient OBGYN. Bailey is focusing her DNP project on the need to implement fracture risk assessment tools for postmenopausal women. She coordinates and teaches OBGYN nursing care clinical in the traditional BSN program and provides instruction for several other courses. Well, today's topic is using classroom response systems to create clinical judgment scenarios. And before we begin, I want to congratulate Rebecca, Beth, Brady, and Bailey for having this topic published in Nurse Educator. And I encourage our listeners to obtain the article, the teaching tip, to glean important information they can use in their nursing programs. Well, welcome, Rebecca, Beth, Brady, and Bailey.
So excited to be here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you for spending time with us. What an interesting topic. Rebecca, I believe I'm going to ask you the first question. Why is it important to bring clinical to the classroom? And tell us about the next gen NCLEX and the clinical judgment model.
Hi, Richard. Thank you so much for asking.
Sure.
So, you know, next generation NCLEX was born out of the need to prepare new nurses for our field in a practical way. And I have to say, one of the most striking statistics that I heard was at an NCSBN conference a few years ago that I actually attended with Beth. They said 50% of new nurses will make a medical error in the first year of practice, and that up to 80% of employees surveyed said they do not trust their new nurses. And I found this to be a very sobering fact, okay? Very, very sobering fact. Most medical errors we've also found center around failure to rescue. So we're sending people into the workforce without the ability to clinically reason or apply clinical judgment to their patient care. The next generation NCLEX tasks students with this practical application of nursing theory and nursing knowledge, bringing clinical practice into the classroom through what they call the clinical judgment model. And this was developed by NCSBN researchers. That clinical judgment model first asks our students to recognize cues and then to analyze them. And this is where so much of the breakdown occurred in patient care. And, you know, that being able to notice something is wrong with your patient before catastrophic decline occurs. We're always telling our students vital signs are a late sign that something is wrong, right? You know, so you've got to see these subtle changes in your patients before something goes disastrously wrong. Then they must, you know, learn to prioritize their hypotheses and generate solutions. That's the next part of the model. And that's simply asking them, what is likely going on to cause my patient to display the signs and symptoms that they are, and what do I need to do based on what I'm seeing? And then finally, they should learn to take actions and evaluate outcomes. And I think so many students, when asked point blank, they can tell you what action to take in a given situation based on a textbook diagnosis. But deciding if it worked or not and what to do next is more challenging for them. And none of this can occur without sound clinical reasoning and ability to recognize those cues. So I believe as nurse educators, we must promote the use of clinical reasoning and clinical judgment. And this starts and should be continuously reinforced throughout a program or a curricula in the classroom.
Well, Rebecca, you make a good point. I think so often in nursing education, we fragment the learning experience as we say, well, here's didactic and here's clinical, when in fact they go hand in hand. Clinical is really a classroom also. And then the didactic is also clinical. And what a great way to have scenarios in a didactic learning experience that require students to have high-level critical thinking well above the application, and then, you know, even analysis and even synthesis level to measure their clinical judgment, their clinical reasoning. I'm a strong proponent of having clinical in the classroom. Good deal. Thank you. Let's see. My next question, I think I'll ask Beth. Beth, what issue did you or do you see in practice with new graduates transitioning into practice?
Well, Richard, what I saw before becoming an educator, I worked as a labor and delivery nurse for 25 years. Mm-hmm. And so I was tasked with training a lot of new nurses or precepting new grads. So one thing that I noticed whenever I dealt with the new grads, I felt like they were like a stack of encyclopedias. All the information was in them, but we had to kind of pull it out and help them connect the dots. And so, you know, it really is a fine art of learning how to be a preceptor, to have the patience to deal with that and help them to kind of connect the dots and give them that aha moment where they're like, oh, it all came together. And so what I really feel like, if you had to put a label on that, I felt like the issue was situational awareness. You would have people that they were prepared, but they couldn't kind of connect the dots of, you know, if you ask them, what is going on here? Why do you think this is occurring? What may happen next and how will you deal with it? A further thing is team building. You know, you see how they are able to kind of sort through their patient with the reasoning and the judgment, but also how do they work well in a team? How do they support the unit? How do they prioritize the care of multiple patients with short staffing like we have now? Because we prepare them coming out of nursing school to learn how to complete their tasks, check the boxes. But there's just so much bigger that is required for safe care. And so it's almost like we have to train them to see around the corners. And I feel like that's what clinical judgment and clinical reasoning is how to be a proactive thinker instead of a reactive thinker. Now, as a full-time educator, I'm on the other side because I actually take students to the hospitals where I previously worked. So I feel like I have current nurses coming and asking us, you know, how are y'all preparing these nurses? Because I feel like I'm more on the other side. So as we have worked very hard at our university to, you know, move into the clinical judgment model and how do we help the students take the next step, then what we've done is we have really embraced the team-based learning and the classroom response systems. And I feel like what we can do, rather than, we know that simulation works, that if we can take a big group of students and they can do simulation, you know, that can achieve that. However, you can't do that every week, every day, especially as our numbers are growing to, you know, produce more nurses. So with these classroom response systems, what we can do is we can simulate a bedside experience in every lecture. So within our class, like, I'll give you an example that one of the things that I saw as a big issue was within labor and delivery. You have a laboring patient. How do you assess them and manage their pain? And then you move into they need an epidural. There's so many steps of how you prepare somebody for an epidural, what labs you do, what tasks you do before, how you monitor after. So I actually have a classroom response kind of scenario where they are drawn into managing this whole patient. And so I can actually dig into like a topic of like the five whys. Why is this happening? What are we doing next? And then of course they're going to anticipate the needs. We're going to make the scenario go crazy. So something bad's going to happen. They're going to have to decipher through the labs, the vital signs. They have to care for that patient. So before coming to my lecture, they have tasks that they complete, and there's actually a watch and learn of what a nurse does during epidural placement. And then they participate in a lecture. And then we have a patient, and they actively care for that patient. And within our response system, is all anonymous. So everybody's answering the questions, and we do a feedback right then, like we're at the bedside. Yeah. And so everybody gets that aha moment that they can see it going together. And what I've seen personally is I have been on the clinical setting where this started happening, and the students ran to me after and they said, oh my gosh, it happened just that way. And so they were able to be involved and not like learning it fresh in the clinical setting because they'd already been there with that. So I find that is how we develop like a situational awareness within the classroom to more empower these young nurses.
Yes,
that is so true. I want to add to, to that, you know, what she's talking about in clinical, seeing these students' eyes light up when the light bulb goes off is such a pleasure to me because, you know, we will talk about these things in the classroom and we'll put practical application to it. We'll give it a name. You know, we'll give these processes and these problems a face, and then they go into the clinical setting and they see it. I had that happen in labor and delivery with medication and how that affected a baby. And I just remember my students looking at me and going, this is exactly like what you talked about on Monday. You know, so that's, nothing makes me happier than to see them connect the dots like that. And I absolutely concur with Beth. It's happening because we're bringing clinical to the classroom.
Exactly.
I like the term a stack of encyclopedias. They have all this wonderful acquired knowledge that they're very impressed with. And of course, that's foundational. However, and I like connecting the dots. I always think that's connecting is critical thinking. It reminds me when I'm in clinical with my students, let's say we have a patient that is in the ICU, heart failure. And I ask for a report, and I'll say, explain to me the relationship of that urinary output and the heart rate. What would be an outcome, a desired outcome of a low sodium diet? And they kind of look at me, or why is the patient on a low sodium diet, and tell me exactly what would the patient have to say to indicate they understand their treatment. You know, I try to very, very gently encourage them to connect those dots because they're always ready to share their knowledge, and that's a good thing. But also, they need to understand all of the whys. I think that's what you said, Beth. Connect those dots, critically think, and that fuses into clinical judgment that will set the stage for their nursing actions. Very good.
Well, okay, and one thing I'd like to add there, I'd like to, is that as you're talking about, you know, when you have a meaningful experience with a student on the clinical floor, it's so much more purposeful when you have that same aha moment in the classroom with 100 students, where all of a sudden they're kind of their toes on the line of why, and they have to go, let me think about it. So I think that's the one power of doing this, you know, because I think all of us have that one meaningful experience, and hopefully they share with their classmates. But what if they don't? You know, it's like everybody else missed out on that pivotal little moment. So I think that's what makes this so huge.
Yes, and I actually did something similar, not with the clickers, but also in class. I would start off with a scenario, and I would ask students, usually we're 60 to 80 in the class, and I would ask them, who has an answer to this question? And I would, the question would be a knowledge question, and then somebody would answer, and I'll say somebody, then I would go, somebody else tell me, how would you know if that was happening with the patient? So I would go from one student to the next. They would volunteer with increasing levels of complexity of the question. So I would try very hard to have higher level cognitive level questions, kind of similar to what you're doing, and I probably could have done a better job with the clickers. Okay, well, speaking of the clickers, I know them as clickers. Brady, what is a classroom response system?
All right, so there are a lot of different classroom response systems out there. Some have a cost associated with them. Some are kind of open source and free to the end user. And we've used several different ones. I'm familiar with Clicker, Pear Deck, and Kahoot as well. So within these applications, we're using technology that allows students to respond to questions, prompts in real time, and it can create an illustration of where's the class stand on this question, you know, what the general consensus is for the answer to whatever question we're asking. And in doing that, I think it serves a lot of different purposes. Rather than just being, you know, just a general rhetorical question to the class, we're able to structure it and kind of, you know, use different sides of the brain while you're using the technology and you're actively engaged with it. And I think Beth mentioned earlier, the anonymity of that is pretty awesome. You know, I believe it or not, as chatty as I am, I used to be a pretty timid student, and I never really wanted to admit when I didn't know something. I would just kind of hide. I was one of those hiders. And so I love that, you know, the student that is like that can be actively engaged and answer their genuine first instinct answer. And we make these non-punitive in that way, so that we in real time can correct any misconceptions, can kind of guide them towards the correct answer. You know, and I've really enjoyed that. You know, it kind of breaks up the monotony of lecture, but it also can help me realize when I need to shed some more light on an issue that they're having. You know, it's great. We can incorporate different cases. I know they mentioned a minute ago that, you know, it's great because we can put something in it they're going to see in clinical, and then the light bulbs go off. But on the flip side of that, there are some things that we're not going to see in clinical. We can't always have the same exact clinical experience every semester where they see all of the most important things in pediatrics or women's health. And so we can put our finger on, you know, these things they really need to get a grasp of and they struggle with on exams or whatever the case may be. And we can construct a case to specifically hone in on those topics, which is really great, you know, for both test preparation, clinical preparation, and then just, again, preparing them for practice down the road. You know, definitely love for them to work in teams. Sometimes we let them work individually, but, you know, I would say all of that kind of brings together an active classroom where we're kind of customizing our teaching to what the students need at that time.
Absolutely. Well, Brady, I do have another question related to that. Students, you focus, they're able to identify the correct answer or correct answers and then also select incorrect answers. Is that what happens in class?
Yes, that is correct.
And my question is, I would imagine that after you have the responses and to the question, that gives you a great opportunity to talk about why the correct answer is correct and why the others, probably even more time, why the others are not correct. Do you do that?
We do, yes. So I usually wait until I get everybody's responses in, because you always have that person that wants to hold back and wait till I tell them the answers, and then they change their answers. And we'll see, we'll still see that from time to time. If we forget to lock the question, they'll start to change their answers as we talk. But yes, it's the perfect time to, you know, shed some light on, you know, don't fall into this trap of thinking that this is, you know, the right answer. Or if it's a select all that apply question, you know, I know you guys picked extra ones that you knew were not correct because you just thought there was one more that was correct. You know, so even some kind of test taking strategies there as well, you know, and kind of modeling that with them is pretty enlightening. And again, even light bulbs going off in the classroom at times, it's pretty rewarding.
Such a high impact, very student-centered learning activity. And of course, we are called even more now by our accrediting bodies, such as CCNE, to have more student-centered, engaging, active, engaging learning experiences. And Brady, you reminded me, this is not only testing their knowledge, that's one thing, or evaluating, let's say, their knowledge, but also how they apply and analyze and synthesize information. And what a great way to teach them how to take a test and prepare them for NCLEX. Very impressive. Well, thank you for answering my questions. Good deal. Well, Bailey, in what ways have you been able to incorporate active learning into the classroom? We'll expand a little more on that. And tell us about building the case studies.
Yes. Well, thank you, Richard. So I've been able to incorporate active learning in multiple ways through the use of classroom response systems. First, throughout my lectures, I am able to include interactive multiple choice questions throughout the PowerPoints or whatever lecture material we're using to help test the students' knowledge related to the lecture content. First, these questions kind of help break up, you know, those PowerPoint lectures where we're just kind of reviewing material and kind of gives the students a break while keeping them engaged, and also helps me to see if there are they grasping this information, as we've kind of mentioned before. Mm-hmm. So as Brady had discussed, once we get the results back from the questions, we can discuss the rationales and of the correct or incorrect answers, and which also provides that additional learning opportunity for the students. And then also after we provide the lecture material, then we can help engage the students using the interactive case studies through a TBL activity to apply the information that they just have went over in class. And then this is where we can use those NGN case studies through the classroom response systems. And then when developing this case study and kind of seeing what information am I going to go over with these students, I really like to use the content that's been really difficult for the students in the past to understand, or maybe information that's really heavily focused on NCLEX. So like for instance, in our class in women's health, there was major concerns with students not getting information correct on STIs. So I was able to develop a case that focused on this concern, such as maybe in a women's health clinic that they went through. So not only this case study was able to help prepare them for NGN style questions and our exams, but it also, as Rebecca and Beth had mentioned, it does bring that clinical content into the classroom.
Absolutely.
And Yes, and so we've really seen that as we as we're going in clinical with these students, that this really has helped. And then to develop these NGN case studies, we will use the clinical response systems along with some prepared patient chart templates and tables to help build these cases. And we decided to use a clinical response system that was a Google add-on, and it was provided through Google Slides. And that's how we decided on the response system we were going to use. And this allowed us to develop the multiple choice questions, a highlight mm-hmm. question, priority, mm-hmm. and multiple response questions, mm-hmm. which followed along with the six steps of the clinical judgment model that we have discussed. And just whenever you're thinking about maybe incorporating some of these case studies with the classroom response systems into your classroom, it's just important mm-hmm. to see what best fits your needs as an educator, while also looking mm-hmm. at the potential cost that Brady had also mentioned sure. as well.
Sure. It reminds me, it almost sounds like you have case studies, and then you have the response system. And I would imagine after the learning, well, that main learning event, that you would have time to talk with the students. It's almost like a debriefing. So there's a type of reflection that goes on. So it's almost like a simulation in didactic, which is what I think you're saying, is that
yes.
didactic is clinical, and actually clinical is didactic. It all mm-hmm. works together. And there was something, I think it was Beth said earlier, and I'm going to ask her this next question in just a moment, but is that the students, as I mentioned earlier, she said that the students are like encyclopedias, and they have trouble connecting the dots. And I think she said something about teamwork and communication. So I would imagine, I don't think she used the word communication. That's what I got out of it. But I would imagine all of this learning experience helps them in some way to communicate and to collaborate among the students themselves, and also with the faculty, and also learn about prioritizing and communicating when you're actually caring for a patient in clinical. Well, here's my question, Beth, to you. How do you think this new technology makes the transition from the ivory towers, that's the term I'm using today, ivory towers of education to real-world nursing smoother? How do you make it run smoother?
Well, if I had to bring it back to like placing an epidural with somebody in labor, mm-hmm. what I saw is that because the students had encountered, you know, this like in a virtual activity in class, that once they were on the clinical floor, they were a participant. They knew that, oh, you know, if the blood pressure dips, the mom's going to have oxygen placed because of the decelerations that were coming. So they yeah. were right there. And whenever somebody said, grab that oxygen mask, and they knew why they were doing it. And they were more involved in the whole flow rather than just being the student in the way in the patient's room. They were able mm-hmm. to kind of engage and ask purposeful questions after it was over. And essentially they were debriefing mm-hmm. In a purposeful way rather than coming yeah. running and finding me and going, oh my gosh, Miss Emily, why did that happen? And mm-hmm. and what was going on? They had already encountered it in a way in the class, so that what they had prepped for, what they had encountered in lecture in the activity, they were acting as a novice nurse on the floor with a real patient. So it really kind of empowered them, because mm-hmm. they felt that they could actually learn how to be a nurse. And we just, again, we helped them connect the dots in class, but then seeing them come out and saying, I saw the decelerations, I saw it happening. I saw her complain that she was nauseated, so I knew what was coming next. I knew her blood pressure. They were equipped. So I think that our in-class aha moment translated into yeah. into them feeling like they were going to be a capable nurse. So I think it just, and they were part of the team with a nurse, because if they could support her, then it wasn't just like, crap, I've got another student that is here in my way. They were a part of the team, and that's what we're trying to do.
Well, good deal, Beth. And I think it was you. You said something about and I'm paraphrasing, about students reacting earlier. The goal here is to teach, and they are to learn through this high impact strategy to connect the dots and to communicate and to collaborate. And when I say connect the dots, I'm meaning critical thinking, clinical judgment. Then that drives their responding to the situation appropriately rather than reacting emotionally, putting all those dots.
They're proactive thinkers. They become proactive thinkers instead of just reacting to what is happening or somebody telling them. Yes.
Yeah, I always get concerned when I hear nurses or something in the news about reaction, react. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between reacting and responding. Responsive means it means that you put things together and you responded for the best of the situation. In our case, it's safe patient care. Well, good deal. Well, thank you, Rebecca, Beth, Brady, and Bailey, for sharing your expertise with listeners. And I really appreciate you spending time with me.
Thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. This ends the podcast.